Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, and so on and so on and so forth. You get it. Boy, the stream is blowing up about salad dressing. David Stamper says the best salad dressing is Mayfair. Do love me a Mayfair. You can get it at O'Connell's. I will absolutely go to O'Connell's and get that. It's been a long time since I had a good Mayfair. Brian says if it's the ginger Japanese dressing you like, at Schnucks, nice. And then James Crockett said, I find myself watching the TV behind Dave during the commercials. I get it.
Let's make a deal.
When we first moved in
here. Wow, your camera's really blurry right now.
I know. I don't know what's going on with that.
Try to put like your hand up to it and see if it'll focus on that.
Yeah, boy, I got my hand.
Yeah. I'll go try and move it around a little bit.
What about the camera?
Because it's trying to focus on, like the focus is bad. It's trying to focus on something really close to it, which is why your hand's so clear.
That's okay. Let me go look. No. You just stay where you are. All
right. Dave's I like the Barbara Walters look.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you should see.
Like, I look so like, much better.
Like, I actually kind of prefer it like this.
Yeah. You should see some of these housewives or like the Kardashian show now. The filters and the lighting they have on their confessionals. It's like, are you okay? Jeez. You look like a different person.
No, the lighting is crazy. It'll just be like a floodlight right on their face.
See, I would be okay. I would be afraid of someone, once they see me in real life, they'd be like, oh my God, you're a monster. If I were constantly filming myself in filters, if I'm ever going to see humans, you're going to look worse. That's why I always talk about being super fat, so that when people met me, they're like, you're not super fat. I mean, you're fat, but you're not super fat. You got to lower the expectations. Don't raise them.
Don't make people think you're cool.
I was thinking about this today. What is the last thing that you learned to do? Because you're young and you're young, but you know, you're not babies. Wheels and I are semi-old, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. What's the last thing you learned to do? For example, with me, probably barbecuing. When Nick and I did the barbecue circuit and I really learned and I really studied and I experimented and I got pretty good at it, that's probably the last thing that I didn't know anything about and I learned. I didn't master it, but I got pretty good at it. How about you guys?
Ooh, can I still be in the process?
Sure.
Because tennis is one. And then also like using sharp knives and how to actually cut things instead of just like, or like how to like dice different things. Like Kurt's a chef. He knows how to do all this stuff.
Does he judge your cuts?
He has shown me the right way to do it, and it feels weird in my hand because it's like different than I've done it in the past. So I'm working on it, but
because you do it like this,
yeah, exactly. Like I'm just stabbing you right
like
in the heart. Yeah.
Wheels, how about you? What's the last thing you learned?
I don't know.
I feel like you need a hug.
No, I'm
looking okay, Wheels.
He's really good today.
I'm just having a hard time because you guys are asking me these really deep questions that I got to think about cheeseburgers, you know? I mean, I got to think about these things. I don't know. I don't think I learn new things very often because I don't need any new things, but I'm always learning stuff about baseball. Like, I'm always learning new training techniques, new stuff, new ways of doing things or getting certain type of characteristic out of a player. So that's probably all it is. It's just constantly
What's
doing
something
that.
You would like to learn?
Guitar, but I have no patience, and I don't want to learn how to read music.
gets in your way.
Other than that, I'm ready to rip.
Kevin looks at sheet music, and he's just like, nah.
Because, you know, Dave, I still have the one you let me borrow, and I just I like to play around with it.
You should bring that back.
I'll bring it back. Next year or two or three, I don't know, maybe somewhere down the road.
I'm never going to learn how to play guitar.
And I'm like, I'll sit there. I do it all the time. I'm like, this feels so good.
He has a 72 Les Paul Deluxe in his house.
When he said, like, I love the guitar, but I'm never going to actually learn it.
I'm never going to pick
it. It's like, you pick that thing up. I do it all the time, and I'm like, man, this is cool. It feels good.
Do you just pretend?
And then, no, I don't do that. But I'm like, can I play this? Can I try to do anything just by ear? And I'm like, no.
Andrew, how about you?
If we're talking stuff that's in process, I'm almost all the way crate trained, but that's still like...
You mean peeing in the crate?
Yeah. It's ongoing. It's slow going, but
we're
still
working.
You know
what's interesting about that? When you just said that, everyone in the audience pictured you in a crate.
That was the goal.
Right? Remember when I famously a couple years ago said licking a corpse? And I said, every one of you just pictured licking a corpse.
I did just when he said that.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It's the control you have over people.
No, baseball is sort of a good thing. I've been, you know, I share the office with Kevin, and I don't know a whole lot about baseball, but starting with last year, I really started to enjoy watching it, and I learned how to enjoy watching it, which I think, if it doesn't come to you naturally, is something you have to do with baseball. You got to kind of learn to enjoy it by learning about the game.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot about it from Kevin, and he puts up with my, like, very stupid questions about, like, you know, why can't this same guy just pitch 18 consecutive innings or whatever? And Kevin very patiently is like, he gets tired. Makes sense. He gets tired.
Yeah.
I get that. I get tired too. It's so relatable.
I will say this, a lot of things do come down to the more you know about it, the more you like it. You ever find that with, like, music, Dave, where the more you got to know about it, the more you appreciated a lot of it?
No.
Really?
No, not playing. The more I learned...
No, I mean, like, the more you figured out how to do it, the more you appreciated how good other people were.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's how it is kind of with me with sports.
Yeah.
It's like, the more I know about it, because I've had a lot of interaction with all the major sports, the more you're like, God, these guys are so good.
Yeah. For me, the more I learned about music, guitar anyway, drums came very naturally to me, but playing guitar, the better I got, the more discouraged I got.
Oh, because you could just see how far it was?
Kind of oxymoronic, maybe.
It's kind of the same vibe as me.
No, like, I get it. It's a hump to get over. It's like a really big hump to get over.
Like you in the crate training.
Daunting. Yeah. When I first time that I looked at that pad and that crate, I was like, there's no way. I'm not going to be able to figure this out. I'm just going to go on the couch like I've been doing.
Yeah, that's what I think about
now
it.
Now we're picturing that.
That's what I... When I pick up that...
What couch did you picture?
I pictured like the couch that my parents had when I was
me
a baby.
Too,
like the brown one
yes.
with like, the leaves
with, like,
on
the
it.
With like the leaves
yes.
on it.
Oh my Where's god! The bell? We gotta ring the bell.
That's I think I have a picture of my mom sitting on that one. Hold on. You guys just talk amongst yourselves. I'm looking up pictures.
Looking up pictures. Can you search it? Can you be like couch?
You know what I can do is search my mom.
Oh, okay. I'll get you in the right general vicinity. Brown but that couch, feel you're describing, like, that's what it feels like to me, you know, when I pick up the guitar. I'm like, I think this is cool. I could probably do this. And then I have to figure out how to use the, you know, like, change the chords and notes with your hand. And I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can figure out the whole part of, like, the strumming part, feel like I could do the timing on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're just going to, I'm just going to go fast, right? I mean, like, thrash. But then that up and down thing, like, you're like, I can't do that stuff. My hand's just like, yeah, no.
Kevin breaks all the strings the first time. He just goes,
yeah.
Power chord is what we call that.
Yeah, I found the couch.
Did you?
I found a couch.
Oh.
Most of them are videos. I used to surreptitiously, what's the word I'm looking for?
Surreptitiously.
Surreptitiously film my mom. So there's the couch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's got the leaves that are like, mm-hmm. If you rub your fingers across it, you can feel the leaves.
Oof. Yeah, that's not totally, mine was more of like velvety, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is very velvety.
Okay.
My poor mom, when she, before she got sick and went into the nursing home, she was like, now Dave, you bought this couch for me, which I did, and so I want you to have it.
Oh.
poor thing, she smoked like a chimney. And yeah. I'm like, oh, mom, I could never take that. I could never take your couch. Just yeah. like, oh, my God.
That's sweet, though.
It was very sweet. Should have just kicked her ass off and taken it right there. Tooken it.
I'm going to tooken it.
Should have just tooken it. You know what I don't get? Boy, this show's weird. This is a weird. It's Friday.
That's what. It's the full moon this weekend. That's why.
Yeah, it's the pink moon.
That's what Dave said yesterday.
Pink sauce.
And as soon as Dave said it yesterday, I was like, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah, it could be. Something about like the liquid in your head, in your brain, moves around.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
I'm glad I got an excuse anyway.
Have you guys ever howled at the moon?
Yeah.
I knew it. I was going to say I know. Well,
Prince of Wolves.
I was calling my pack. What can I tell you?
Where was I going with that?
You said, this is weird, and then we got sidetracked by how weird it was.
I don't understand wax figures. Like, really? There is one African-American, Viola Davis, Madame Tussauds, whatever, did one of her, and it's creepily perfect and amazing. I just, in 2025, maybe in 1910, I kind of get it, but in 2025, are you really going to go look at a wax figure?
No.
Do you guys know the Hall of Presidents wax figure conspiracy at Disney?
No.
Which is that? So the Trump one that's been in the Hall of Presidents at Epcot at Disney for many years now. It looks a whole lot like Hillary Clinton.
Oh, wow.
It looks almost identical to Hillary Clinton and doesn't really look much like Trump except the hair. So the conspiracy theory is that Disney had one of these very expensive wax figure animatronics made to look like Hillary.
Can you find that on Google?
It's very easy to find. It looks exactly like Hillary. And then
I wouldn't say exactly, but
they changed it at the very last second to look like Trump.
I mean,
I hate it when I have to prove I'm not a robot just to look at a picture.
Yeah. It's not
a robot, dude.
Yeah,
get off my case.
Yeah, that's the robot.
Well, it doesn't look like Trump.
And so the theory is that
it looks like
just
an actor. There's an actor that looks like
John
that.
John Voight.
Yeah, it looks like John Voight.
Yeah, a little bit.
It looks like they took like a little mallet to the face and the hair, and we're like, we gotta make this look right. Hurry!
Now I haven't been there in a long time.
Trump just won Pennsylvania.
Are they all a little weird?
No, they all pretty much look like the presidents except that one, which is kind of where that theory came from.
Okay. Because, I mean, I haven't been in that Hall of Presidents since I was a little kid. Because it's the worst thing at Disney. It's literally
I went
the worst
to it
thing.
When I was there on my honeymoon.
Like, why would I want to waste my
That's
time?
Hot.
Yeah, why would I want to be
I
there?
I was there for about 10 seconds, and I was like, kind of like Kevin, I was like, this sucks.
Like, my parents
You're like,
made
LBJ,
me.
Mean anything to you?
Yeah, like, my parents made us go in there for whatever reason. I'm like, why are we doing this stupid thing? I want to ride rides. Ride rides.
That one was just for Rach.
Stupid Hall of Presidents.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, just like the expression in the eyes is very Hillary-like. So I get where they're coming from. I see it.
Would you like some sort of homage to you when you're gone like that?
No.
Like a bronze bust?
No. I don't care. I'll be dead.
Yeah.
Why do I care?
I feel like any statue of me is just going to get defaced. I'm not worried. I'm not worried too much about it.
Who's going to deface your statue?
It? People are going to pull it down like Saddam.
Beat it with a shoe.
Andrew acts like there's like this whole society of people that hate him.
I know.
I've met a few.
Just that one guy you beat in Magic the Gathering?
Yeah.
That nerd's not pulling your statue down.
Yeah. He didn't have the arm strength. Yeah! Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Do you guys know what the Yanaguchi Monument is?
No.
So it's big in the paranormal world. Wheels, you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is the underwater structure about a few miles off of Japan that paranormal ancient aliens people think was man-made.
Right.
And it dates back to 12,000 years ago. Because the cuts are perfect, laser steps, the whole thing. Other more mainstream scientists have said, no, that's just the way that rocks break off under pressure. You guys are crazy. Well, a bunch of mainstream scientists have now changed their tune and said, we now agree. We think this was man-made 12,000 years ago, and it is far and above. It's like rivaling the pyramids. in its structure. Interesting, huh?
It's so cool. Clearly man-made when you look at it. Sorry, Rach.
That's okay. I was just saying, sounds cool.
Wait, what? Where is it again?
It's off the coast of Japan.
It's so clearly man-made when you look at it. Like, I've never bought into...
Yanaguchi.
I've never bought into...
Yanaguni, sorry. Yanaguni.
Yeah, that doesn't change it for me. They did an episode about that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did several.
I saw that, yeah.
Several, yeah.
And by they, I mean Giorgio and his friends.
Yes.
And there's that one guy that's always
wondering
way
who they
too
was.
Excited.
I'm still wondering who Giorgio is.
He's the big hair guy.
The guy who does the meme that says
it's the aliens. That's Giorgio.
China is adding outdoor escalators up the side of mountains. You guys ever, like, look, I'm a good, proud American, but I'm also open-minded. When I hear things like this, you ever go, what if we're the ones being fed all the malarkey? What if China's got it right? What if that's the way to go? They're building escalators up mountains.
I mean,
I don't think it is. I'm just saying, though, like, every now and then you go, like, eh.
I think everybody gets something right, you know?
Well, we could do
that. I think maybe nobody does everything wrong.
Right? I mean, there's nothing. There's no reason we couldn't do that.
And yet why don't we?
How tall are these mountains?
Biggest in the world.
Whoa.
What if you could take an escalator to the top of Everest?
just stand on an escalator like, for three straight days.
You guys ever had a seafood tower? You know, like a Bruce Chris or something like that? Now the new hot thing, hot dog towers.
I saw this.
Hot dog towers. There's a place in South Carolina called Sir Wiener's.
I hate that I was looking at my arm when you said that, and I visibly, like, snapped to attention. Like, yes, and?
Why were you looking at your arm?
I got a thing. I'm scratching it.
Weird day.
I got, like, a little thing, you know, when you get, like, a little thing on your arm, and you're like, yeah, what's that? And you scratch at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe give us more detail.
It's just like a little...
No, I was
like
kidding about that. Okay. No. Boy, you killed that Sir Wiener's joke.
Go on, Sir Wieners. I still want to know about the hot dog tower.
He's so cute.
I'm just as curious as I was before.
Very funny.
Oh, well, you can picture a hot dog tower, right?
I don't really know what a seafood tower is.
So it's like three or four different layers of, you know, on the bottom you have a big thing of crab, and then you have scallops, and then you have this and shrimps, and this is just that, but hot dogs. Where they have, you know, like they
are the same thing.
Not all.
Maybe you have Chicago dogs on the bottom.
I see.
We've talked about this before.
Then you have brats on
the
next level.
There's a Costco dog, and then there's a
I was just picturing
Frank,
just straight up wieners lined up around the thing.
That's what you're picturing?
That's what I was picturing.
Straight wieners?
That's what I had in mind.
Sir Wiener?
Well, I mean, it's not called Sir Fully Formed Hot Dogs.
You okay, Wheels?
No.
How glad are you to be on this show?
It's the best. He's just straight up like, I love wieners.
Straight ones.
He's known for that.
I'm known for it.
A tower, you say?
A tower.
A tower
yes,
of wieners.
A tower of wieners. What would your ultimate tower be?
Ooh.
Would you like a sampler of?
Maybe like a charcuterie tower, because ultimately at the end of the day, I think just like a big charcuterie board is what really makes me happy.
You like it?
Love it.
Do you like most of the things on it? I find I don't like most of the things on it.
Oh, I love like meats and cheeses.
Oh,
and, like,
see,
meats.
I've yet to have a bite of prosciutto that I didn't have to pretend I liked.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like a prosciutto.
Yeah, it's not bad.
A gabagool. Hear me out.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Gabagool is different than prosciutto.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought they were the same thing.
No, I did too, and I was correct.
No, I believe that's mozzarella, right?
No, it's meat. It's not cheese.
You're right. It's a meat. It's a meat.
I forget what
Capicola.
It's called. Capicola. Yeah.
That's what it is, because, yeah.
Let's go to break.
Gabagool.
Wieners.
Welcome back, guys. DG.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, 104.1 FM KMOX. The great Bernie Miklas joins us. Bern, good to talk to you. How's your week been?
It's been good. Busy. I like it that way. And interesting Cardinal season. See the Blues, you know, head to the finish line. It's just really good stuff.
So I have a couple of thoughts on the Cardinals record. When I run it by you, Wheels and I were kind of talking about this at lunch, and this is no great genius. Call Gould.
Break the story.
It would be so easy for us playing so many close games to be 7-5 or even 8-4, but then the next, what follows the comma is, but that's what separates decent teams from really good teams, is they win the majority of those close games.
Yeah, and the reason why the Cardinals, you know, didn't finish with a losing record last year is they had the best record in the National League in one-run games, and they only lost one game all year where they had the lead after eight innings. Mm-hmm. So they were winning those great games. Though they won a really good share of those kind of games that could very much go either way, and that's the difference between 83 and 79, or you know, maybe 79 and 83. This season so far, it's only 12 games, but listen, that trend's working against them. It's amazing they've already had four extra inning games, but what's also as amazing is they've lost all four. See, that's the kind of tipping point games that you're talking about.
Yeah.
If they had gone 2-2 in those extra innings games, right?
Yeah.
Their record would definitely be better right now. So yeah, that's a tough thing to do early in the season is lose four extra innings games. Four of their seven losses are extra innings games. That's tough.
So that last game was like, it would look like the Savannah Bananas playing out there. Obviously some interesting coaching choices and sending Siani and taking Fetty out. Just how much do you put on the coaches? How much do you say like, you know, it's baseball the way she goes?
No, Pop Warner's decision to send Siani was ridiculous. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Siani's fast, but he wasn't even at third base by the time Tommy Pham, who's got a good arm, picked up the ball. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Listen, I did a video about this at Sports Hub, STL. I really was thinking about that game for a couple days, and the more I thought about it, the more it bugged me. Because that's the kind of game, if you want to be taken seriously, that's the kind of game you have to win. And I know people want to get home. I know it's been it was a rough road trip, rain delays, washout, a doubleheader, taking a beating from the Red Sox. But you have a chance after coming out flat on Monday night in Pittsburgh and losing that. And then you beat Paul Skeens, which should have had everyone fired up to just sprint to the baseball park the next day.
Yeah.
But with a chance to win the series and end the road trip on a high note, listen, there was no energy with that team. There was no urgency. The at-bats were terrible. The pitching was great, which made the loss even more frustrating. It's 47 batters went to the plate. They only had three walks. I mean, they just weren't working the counts. They weren't working the pitchers. And I'm like, man, I know you're tired, but my goodness, most of those hitters are young dudes. You can't be tired 12 games into a season. I was really disappointed with that. Really disappointed.
Yeah, I think there was a lot to it, and I, you know, it's all magnified when you don't hit. And this is a team that was the first clunker on of an offensive game, and that's the other kind of frightening part, right? Is the offense has been one of the best in Major League Baseball through 12 games, and you're 5-7. So if that calms, which it's going to, just by the odds, it's going to calm at least a little bit. Boy, you're really going to need the pitching to pick it up.
Yeah, it already is. The offense has kind of settled in a little bit. Some of the things are starting to go the other way, like their contact rate and things like that. But no, they more than anything, they got to get their pitching together. And the only way they do that is they got to get better starts. And they guys who are capable of giving them more innings need to give them more innings. I mean, when Matthew Liberatore is leading your team in terms of innings per start, he's the only guy that's averaged over six innings.
Yeah.
All the other guys have come up pretty short, and that's only going to put more pressure, more strain on your bullpen. And but the team ERA is terrible, both starters and relievers. If they don't straighten out that trend, then it's going to be a long season because they're not going to be able to overcome that.
Yeah. See, it's interesting because if you look at the fewest total innings from starting pitchers in baseball, I think the Cardinals are like sixth worst, but it's very close when you're down there. Well, the Dodgers are right there with them, but what's the difference? Well, the Dodgers have three MVPs in their lineup, and they have a much more stable and deep lineup with proven players, right? And they also have the deepest and most versatile bullpen in the sport. Right. So, like, if they're going to go five and dive, essentially, they're going to get by because, first of all, those five are from guys that are Cy Young contenders and elite guys like like Yamamoto, eventually Ohtani and Glasnow, these guys. And the bullpen is loaded and deep and good. And the Cardinals bullpen so far hasn't shown that.
Well, you know, I was kind of a nag all offseason telling people, listen, there's just no way they're going to be able to repeat the bullpen performance we saw in 2024. I did a study on it, and long story short, when a bullpen is great 1 year, and you return most of the guys, there is always a regression, and sometimes it's a bad regression. So I try to warn everyone, it's not going to happen again this year. Not that I thought it would be a bad bullpen.
Right.
But there's no way they could approximate what that bullpen did last season. It just doesn't work that way because relievers are up and down from year to year. You just never know.
So Matt Pauley and I were talking about this yesterday, Byrne. You know, we're looking ahead to these coming series against Philly and Houston and the Mets and then eventually the Braves. Those are the next handful of series. There are almost no games when you look down the pitching matchups where you're like, the Cardinals have the better pitcher. You know, the only ones that are even in that conversation are when Sonny Gray is pitching. So, like, Sonny's next start will be against Houston facing Valdez, Framber Valdez, who's one of the best. So that's kind of an equal one. But Pallante and Nola is not going to favor the Cardinals. Mikolas and Sanchez, Christopher Sanchez is really good for the Phillies. Zach Wheeler and Matthew Liberatore. Hunter Brown next week and Eric Fetty. There just aren't many on the list for the next 2 weeks where you're like, yep, the Cardinals have the advantage
of
the starting pitcher.
Can I ask you guys, we're not in the middle of the season, but we're in the midst of the season. How many more times does Mikolas have to crap the bed before they would make a change?
It's really a preposterous situation. Number one, and I'm going to be the cranky guy here. Okay. Is that all right?
I yes. love when you're the cranky guy.
Yes.
I am so tired of my friends in the St. Louis media who cover baseball either directly or just in some capacity. And they do a really good job and they work hard. I am so tired of these people referring to Miles Mikolas as an innings eater. His last 12 starts, you got to go back to August last season. That's when the trend changed. And I track trends. Trends tell me everything. His last 12 starts, he's averaged like four and a half innings per start. Four and not even five innings. And his ERA in his last 12 starts is 6.99. And also the lowest strikeout rate among starting pitchers over that time and the worst swing and miss rate. So even the thing that people want to give him credit for, oh, he's an innings eater, it's completely false. He's not. He used to be. He's right. Not that guy anymore. So what is the value of having him in the rotation? The value, frankly, is nothing. I'm sorry to be that way, but it's nothing.
Yep. And I don't know what they will do. This is the hard part, right? And, look, I think When you guys talked about this on Tuesday with Ollie Marmol, there is a part of what he's saying there that really does make sense, in that anybody you jettison now cannot help you the rest of the year. But then again, the counter to that is, but if a guy's losing for you,
they also don't hurt you.
Right. So there's kind of like a balance of I understand not wanting to be without pitching depth, but it's not pitching depth if it's one of the worst pitchers in baseball. That's just losing games for you.
Am I crazy that I would rather have Graceffo or McGreevy any day over Michaelis?
No. And look, you could argue Steven Matz deserves a shot over him. Why not flip those roles at the very least if we have another bad start or two?
I would take Matz.
Yeah.
I would definitely take McGreevy.
Yeah.
I would take Graceffo because it's one of those years where we're supposed to be finding out about some of your younger guys.
Right.
And Greg, and I'm not like overly impressed by Graceffo, but that doesn't mean we've seen everything he can do. He hasn't had much of an opportunity. So no, they just have this tendency, you know, they're paying him, they're going to play him. And that's as simple as that. But the reason that they have sort of fabricated to justify keeping him around, that's why I'm here to be the cranky guy, because I have debunked that. It's nonsense. Yeah. He no longer pitches deep into games.
It's not even arguable. Like, that's the part that's right. Kind of like, okay, this is not a new, if Miles Michaelis had been what he used to be within the last year, these would all be valid points, right? Like, because then we would be able to say this is early. It's, you know, got to give it time. But it's a continuation of the last two seasons.
No doubt about it.
That's really the core of the issue. And then does it become that, and this is what fans ask about all the time, Byrne, so we'll just address this because I know a lot of fans are listening and asking themselves, is he just getting these opportunities because he makes money?
Yeah, basically. And he's basically occupying a space that could be going to Michael McGreevy. And I don't think there's any question McGreevy would give them a better chance to be competitive.
You know, another thing that I've noticed too, and this isn't just Pop Warner, that was one call, but from my seat in the bleachers, it looks like we're not a very good base running team. We have some guys that can steal, but like, especially Donovan, I've seen him make some pretty boneheaded plays, as much as I love him.
He did go on a couple of kind of wild hair runs. I didn't know what he was doing. He was trying to make something happen, which I appreciate, but I think he's smarter than that. And I think he'll maybe dial it back a little bit, but I think the what we saw the other day, there's no excuse for Nolan Arenado to not be alert for a ground ball, but hit the third base and get tagged out. I didn't know what poor Thomas Sejace was supposed to do exactly, because that was such a weird play. But the whole Pop Warner thing with Siani was ridiculous. I think one thing the Cardinals are doing well, though, when they're not getting thrown out, they're doing some of the things really well, like consistently scoring from second base on a single. Like, they've been doing that better than most teams. So they're doing the quieter base running better, but the mistakes kind of give it a taint.
Yeah.
I think generally they're pretty good running the bases, but it's been a bad run. I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah. And you know, again, Matt and I talked about this the other day. I think it needs to be repeated more than once. The umpires blew that. That's obstruction. It is the absolute rule book definition of obstruction. You cannot block the path of a runner without the ball unless you are in the process of trying to field the ball. But in that case, they had failed to field the ball. The ball was no longer there for them to field, but they were in the way. It's obstruction. And umpires are cowards. They just won't call it because they're afraid of people being mad at them. But that's obstruction. It just is. And it's not why they lost. They might have still blown that lead. But it just, what else can the player do? That's what obstruction's for, is to keep players from being in that position.
I can't remember the last time I saw something that crazy. That was so strange. Yeah.
Well, so we had remember the one in the playoffs, Byrne? Which was that situation? It was at third base with the Cardinals, and there was like a slot. Alan Craig play. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Against the Red Sox in the World Series.
Right.
Yeah. That was a weird play too, but the umpires at least intervened and got it right.
Yes, they did.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Thank you for streaming. Thank you for listening on the new FM. Thank you for podcasting. How are all the ways they can listen now? AM, FM, Odyssey.com, Spotify, Apple. It's kind of hard to avoid us if you're really thinking about it.
It's true.
Kind of everywhere.
We're everywhere.
A naked man on a highway was stopped by the police. And when they asked him what he was up to, he said, "I'm going to get some pants."
Well, what else do you want
him to do? That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. Pretty valid.
I mean, what else are you going to say that would be like, well, all right, I guess.
He'll go about his way.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but, you know, maybe get him some pants.
When you break wind, it travels out at about 10 feet per second.
Huh. Okay.
Which is about 7 miles an hour.
Oh, that seems low.
You think you can beat that, do you?
I probably could.
I feel bad for the doctors or scientists who were in charge of this.
Right.
Stat.
Oh,
Something's gone wrong in their career.
I bet they were laughing the whole time.
Yeah, but they got to be near stinky farts.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just doing it themselves.
Hopefully they had lighters.
Like, you're a scientist. You're a PhD, but you're studying farts.
Yeah.
Right?
I bet that's a choice. I bet that's not made. You're not made to do that. That's a passion.
Passion project.
I got nothing.
Okay. That's all right.
Let's just play Van Halen.